Well, thank you, Leslie, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to In Touch on WCCI. In Touch is heard Monday through Friday at 11:40 a.m. And we're joined today via the telephone by David Jenkins, the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. And David, we're going to talk about something today. It's a new Obama EPA rule, and it's getting some opposition from certain groups, but it's also probably going to get some support from groups that you wouldn't quite think would be in support of this. If you would, tell us about these new regulations and what they impact.
Okay, yes. Well, back in 2006, the Supreme Court had a split decision. It was 4-4-1, so there was no majority in terms of interpreting the Clean Water Act and whether it applied to wetlands and small streams and different other water bodies that you know, are not your big rivers and things like that. And so regulators, landowners, builders, everybody's sort of been in a state of flux over the last several years, trying to figure out, you know, how EPA is going to interpret this, and because there's really no defining authority from the court. So it's been long overdue, but EPA finally came out with a rule clarifying the scope of the Clean Water Act. And there are groups that have been claiming, you know, this is regulatory overreach, and you know, some EPA guy is going to be in your backyard monitoring your mud puddles or something like that. And it's really a lot of hype for nothing, because what this rule essentially does is go back to sort of the status quo and the original interpretation of the Clean Water Act. And I'm not talking about the interpretation of some liberal court or something like that. Well, we're talking about the interpretation of the act by the people who wrote it, including, you know, Republicans like Howard Baker, who was President Reagan's chief of staff. And they said it is essential that this law cover wetlands and small streams because of the interconnectedness of waterways and how doing something in a small one or in a wetland will end up impacting the bigger waterways downstream. So that's the way the EPA was interpreted for the 30 years prior to that muddled 2006 Supreme Court decision. So EPA is trying to reestablish sort of the parameters of what people have to operate under, and also give people who are doing things on the land, builders, farmers, and so forth, some clear definition of what, you know, is under the Clean Water Act and what is not.
Well, David, let's talk about the opposition and some of the problems and dangers that creates, because obviously if you have that opposition, they probably have some impact as far as, you know, publicity and such. What are some of the dangers with the opposition to this?
Well, we're concerned about the opposition because we think it's very important that we protect wetlands. And it's not just, you know, for the wildlife and the ducks and stuff like that. It's important to protect wetlands in a big way because of taxpayers, to lower our tax costs and our tax burden. When wetlands perform these functions that we all depend on, they hold water, they filter water, and they slowly release water. And so in doing so, they prevent flooding, they help maintain stream flows during dry water periods, and so forth. So if you have people just sort of, you know, have the free, unfettered ability to pave over wetlands or fill wetlands or clear streams out and so forth, what that does, it affects everybody that lives downstream of that. So, you know, it's a property rights issue from the standpoint of you don't want your upstream neighbor doing something that's going to make your property flood out. You don't want them to do something that makes, in the middle of the summer, you have less in-stream flow to irrigate your crops. We have to have somebody looking at the whole picture and making sure that what someone does in one place, which they may not be aware of, make sure it doesn't impact the people that live downstream. People are not going to always understand the ramifications of what they do on their property and how that affects other property owners and imposes you know, a violation of those people's property rights President Reagan once praised the Clean Water Act, saying that it prevents the destructive trespass of pollution. And so he formed it in that context of a trespass, and that's exactly what it is. So if you care about property rights and you want us to not have to build so much infrastructure to replace the functions of wetlands and lower that taxpayer burden, you should really want to protect these wetlands.
Well, David, I'm guessing that groups like yours are, you know, speaking out and making their thoughts and that known. But let's talk a little bit about what the average person can do besides getting educated on the situation. Is there anything that our average listener can do, especially those who maybe are more impacted than others by the regulation?
Well, I would encourage everyone, first of all, to, you know, look into it for yourselves. Don't just sort of listen to a soundbite some group says. Someone tries to scare you by saying, you know, that EPA is going to start regulating mud puddles and ditches. They're very clear in the rule that that is not the case. And you know, we don't like regulatory overreach either. But in this case, we think this rule makes a lot of sense. It clearly defines, you know, what you can and can't do, what's under the purview of the Clean Water Act, and what you have to get a permit for. And that's important. That's important for everyone, for their property rights. So I would urge people to look at this from, you know, from the whole picture. You know, we need some oversight into what people do with respect to streams and wetlands, because what they do upstream is going to affect you downstream.
And what about if people are listening today and they're seeking further information on some of the things that you talked about? Is there a website that they can go to that can kind of outline, you know, what you talked about today on the show?
Yeah, we have information on our website, www.conservativestewards.org. And, you know, I would also encourage you to go to the EPA site and actually read the rule. It's not very long. And, you know, don't just believe the hype, but just read it and see what it actually does. And I think people will realize that it stays true to the original intent of the Clean Water Act.
Well, David, we really appreciate your time today. Any final thoughts, anything that you'd like to reemphasize, or anything that we may have glossed over, feel free to add it right now if you would, please.
Yeah, I'll just say again that, you know, when wetlands are lost to development, it inevitably leads to costly infrastructure projects, such as dams, levees, diversion channels, and storm sewers, sewer plant upgrades, and all these, this infrastructure that not only do we have to build, but we have to maintain over time. It's just replacing these functions that the wetlands perform for free. And so what fiscal conservative would want to make that trade? You have a natural process that does something for free, and you have no taxpayer burden for that, versus replacing it all with infrastructure that then we have to maintain over time. And just to note, the American Society of Civil Engineers estimates the cost of just maintaining the infrastructure that we have now that we've built to replace wetlands will cost us over $2 trillion over the next 10 years. So that just sort of puts it in a nutshell as the kind of fiscal problems we create for ourselves when we pave over and lose wetlands.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. We offer the invite to come back at any point in the future and keep us updated on this. And thanks again for being on the In Touch show today.
Thank you for having me.